This is Jeff Fedoten with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Well, the 53-man roster is now set. So on this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I preview the 2022 NFL season. But first, Joe, we need to talk about the choir huddle tribute to Len Dawson before the Packers game. Now, Andy Reid said it was Clark Hunt's idea, though a tweet from the Hunt Sports Group attributed team historian Bob Moore, someone I know you know well, Joe, went with the idea.
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was the perfect tribute, right? It wasn't over the top. You know, I know there was – I had heard some rumblings of possibly Patrick wearing – Len's number for a game or doing something like along those lines. But, you know, that's a no-win situation because if Patrick doesn't play well and, you know, they lose or something, or he gets hurt and he's wearing Len's jersey number, like that just, that wouldn't fly. So I kept thinking about the things that they could do to honor Len. And I just thought that was perfect because it's iconic, right? I mean, that huddle is just, there's so many pictures online and for people who, you know, Google back to those days, you'll see, you type in Len Dawson and, you know, that choir huddle picture shows up in like probably more than 50% that and Len smoking a cigarette and drinking a Fresca. At halftime. I mean, that, like, to me, that's the iconic. And I don't think Patrick was going to be able to do that. Like, I don't think they could recreate, recreate that, you know, and which I'm sure Len probably would have loved, you know, God rest his soul. He probably would have loved that if they could have recreated that, because it was, that too was iconic. But I thought it was a great way to honor his memory. And it was just because it brought the whole team in. It wasn't just Patrick. It wasn't just focused on the quarterback position. It was really focused on the whole team and what impact Len had on the team and the Chiefs organization and the city itself. So it just really embodied everything. I thought it was perfect. It was a perfect touch.
I thought it was perfect too. Two cool nuggets that listeners out there might not be aware of. Everybody knows that Patrick Mahomes he didn't take a snap. He was only in for that. But so was Travis Kelce. He didn't play. He was actually in that huddle, didn't take a snap the rest of the game. He wanted to be in there. And then the other cool thing was obviously a delay of game penalty, which the Packers obviously declined. They talked about before the game. But the ref actually called the penalty on number 16, not number 15. Isn't that cool? Like
that's awesome. Like,
that was a nice touch. Joe, have you ever been in one of those old school choir huddles, or was every huddle you were in this typical, more circular huddle?
No, Ark, my high school huddle was choir.
Okay.
And my college was a front choir. So it wasn't the reverse choir, like where, you know, the Len was like looking at the team and the team's back was to the offense or to the defense. Ours were where the offensive line was behind the receivers and the quarterback was actually facing us away from the defense, if that makes sense, if you can gotcha. Envision that. Yeah, so both high school and college, we were choir huddle. And we were also choir huddle with the Birmingham Fire.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we were only a 5-yard huddle. Chan Gailey was our head coach and called, you know, most of our plays. We did a 5-yard choir huddle because we did a lot of hurry up offense. So we were close to the ball, which was interesting. And you know, it's almost like you could hear the defense talking, they could hear you talking, but we didn't care about it. But yeah, so I've been in three different choir huddles: the Birmingham Fire, my high school huddle, and my college huddle. We're all choir.
Very interesting, because I had thought it was such a neat tribute, and I thought it was such an antiquated thing, but, you know, more recent, more places use it than
And the high school that I coached at, and just, you know, just to kind of a little touch on a little side nugget on the choir huddle, I actually preferred it for the team because you got a look at the defensive front, and you could see where they were going to line up and what personnel was in. Now, the quarterback couldn't see because they had their back to the defense. But as an offensive lineman, I loved the choir huddle facing the other team because it was great to be able to see what personnel was there, who was going to be lined up in the position, generally. I mean, of course they would shift with strength, right? If you line the tight up on the right, they might flip, they might flip the strength of their defense based on where the tight end was or whatever. But, it was at least nice to see who was out there and get a feel for what was coming in the play ahead, which, sometimes when you're in that circle huddle, you just all of a sudden you're blind, and then all of a sudden, boom, you come out and there's the defense. So actually, I thought it was a really good thing. Now, the Chiefs choir huddle was odd because, nobody could see. Len was behind the team. The team had their, the offensive group had their back to the defense. So that was an interesting choir huddle, to say the least.
An interesting strategy, but hey, it
Yeah.
worked for them. The Led had a lot of success with that.
Exactly.
And obviously, a lot to break down on this pod. We'll talk about the 53-man roster and give our predictions for the season. But first, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, we'll talk about odds and predictions, but first, Joe, the 53-man roster is now set. Any surprises for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I got a couple of things wrong, and I can admit, when I was wrong. I'm no pride in being incorrect on some predictions and things. I one of the surprising things for me, I didn't think they were going to keep three quarterbacks. I figured with Chad, with the big contract he had, but I think they like the way Bouchel, really plays, and I think they see that as a real nice insurance policy. It's a luxury to keep, to keep three QBs like that when, you could always pick up a third quarterback. But I think Andy and Eric like having the fact that they have three quarterbacks who know the offense. So kudos to them for that. I didn't think that was going to happen because I thought they had needs in other places. I thought for a minute maybe they would keep six formal, air quote, wide receivers, but I know that the Jody Fortson thing is obviously he's like a hybrid. So I think that gives them the six, air quote, again, receivers that they need, even though he is kind of listed informally a tight end. I was in, you and I have talked a lot about some of the about some of the guys over the years, over the last year or so, which were some surprises. I thought the Dorice Fountain thing was, that's a tough cut. And obviously Justin Watson did everything he could to make sure that he had secured his spot. He was amazing, right, through the off season and through the season. So I think he pushed a lot of people out. I mean, he forced Josh Gordon's hand, and I think Justin made a real name for himself. So I think that was wide receiver was where you and I said was going to be some of the toughest battles, and we knew that going in, right? With the big signings of Juju and MVS, the draft pick of Sky Moore, McColl coming back, you got Justin Watson. Dorice had that same special teams feeling that Justin's probably going to bring to the table. So that was an interesting one. I think Cornell Powell probably make it back to the practice squad. He's somebody you and I have talked about. So I think wide receiver was the battle that we needed. We got the best five out there, and if you count Jody Fortson, then we got six really fantastic wide receiver, right? Putting Jody in that category along with our three other formal tight ends, technically four if you include Jody. I think it solidifies the passing game. So I'm excited about that there. On the offensive line, we knew there was going to be a battle. I think Austin Ryder was a tough, that's a tough one, right?
That
Given the fact
that's the
that he.
one, Joe, that really surprised me offensively. Like we were talking last pod how the concern was offensive line depth, but we felt a little bit better about the offensive line interior depth, Allegretti and Ryder. So yeah, that surprised me.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of stock in Nick, and
Who can play center? Yeah.
and he can play center, he can play guard, and that's a heavy load to carry, to be the only one technically really as a backup to the inside, because he really is. If you really think about it, He's really the only one that can back up all three of those positions. Jaren and Darian are, and Prince, and of course you've got, Lucas on the pup list, or however they've classified him. But he's really the only interior guy, and then you get this slew of tackles, right? And I guess, I mean, I haven't heard of anybody taking any reps. I guess maybe the Andrew Wiley taking some reps at guard throughout camp. Remember Andy had mentioned that a couple of times. That should have been the writing on the wall, maybe, for a guy like Austin Ryder, or if fans were really digging between and reading between the lines, with Austin Ryder, with Andrew Wiley taking snaps at guard, even though he was going into the season as the starting right tackle. That probably should have sent a message to Austin Ryder that it might have been, time for him, because that's something they could do if things got a little hairy. They'd have to, they probably would be better off, if Nick had to jump in for, say, Joe Thuney, and then, say Trey Smith gets banged up or something, or he misses a game, you move Andrew and Nick inside, and then you're probably better off moving one of those tackles in than trying to go out and find another guard or something like that. So I guess they must feel pretty comfortable. I'm not as, I'm, it's not that I don't believe in this line. For the because the front five are as good as any. I'd match them up against anybody in the NFL. I really do. I think this offensive line is going to take this team to new heights, take this offense to new heights this year. But I just don't feel as good about the backups
Yeah, the depth.
that I did in the past, like last season, the depth. You and I talked about it ad nauseum, right? Like it was they had basically two starting lines. I don't feel that way this year. They're putting a lot of eggs in the front five basket. So those are some of the, some of the things that I, oh, Ronald Jones was another one. I got that wrong. I admit it. I didn't think, I thought they would go with, Clyde, Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah, since he kind of had that, like, kind of like they had, everybody had that love affair with him, during this camp. And I just felt like, Ronald might be the odd person out. And you made a great point, Jeff, about some of the injuries and stuff that kind of forced him in with.
Yeah, I think that Derek Gore injury, I think they were like, I think it was going to be Gore or Ronald Jones. Neither of those, Ronald Jones played really well in the final game, but neither of those guys had a great preseason, like a great camp. But I think Gore. He had that bad fumble, and most significantly, he obviously got hurt. So he was an injury settlement guy, and I think, Jones just got in over him. Yeah, and Joe, your points agree that I think it's going to be a very good offensive line, one of the best in football, but top heavy, very, very good. I think not that much depth. I think Allegretti is kind of going to be the sixth man. If anyone goes down, kind of anywhere in the interior, he's going to be the guy. And I think if any of the tackles go down, I think they're gonna the move. Like if Orlando Brown got hurt, I think Dooney comes and plays left tackle, and I think Allegretti's kind of gonna be that sixth man, and then Dooney's gonna be like I think the maybe the backup tackle,
Yeah,
and then
it
they
could.
bring Allegretti in. I was
Yeah.
actually what surprised me the most, I think, was on the other side of the line. Taylor Stallworth really flashed. He was a guy that, like, when I was watching games, he was making plays. He was batting balls down as a defensive tackle, and I thought Danny Shelton, like I thought it still really were a smart move by Brett Veach to take a flyer on a former first round pick, a high pick. I thought he was going to stick around as just a run stuffer. I was surprised that he didn't make the team.
Yeah, Jeff. I was just about to say I was going to make that one comment because I want to hear. I of course wanted to hear what your thoughts were too, as the listeners will as well. I thought I was surprised at the lack of numbers. I thought they'd keep one more defensive tackle. I mean, they're carrying six defensive ends, and I see I see the bright spots in all six that they kept, and I just. Defensive tackle, man, is tough. It's a tough spot to play. You need to rotate those guys through. They take a beating. I mean, defensive ends, of course, they're getting chipped by running backs, and tight ends are staying in and blocking and double teaming here and there. But I'll tell you, when you're out on an island like that at defensive end, you can play out in space and you're not getting, beat up. Those defensive tackles are getting hammered. Sometimes triple teams. Sometimes you got the two guards and the center working on you. And or you have a scoop block where the guard and the tackle work together if the ball's going to the opposite side. There's just you're constantly as a tackle getting double teamed. You're getting cut off by tackles and guards who are, zone blocking, and it is tiring as all get out. And I get rushing the passer; you need to rotate through and everything. But I was really surprised that they right now only have the four solid DTs. I thought they would keep one more defensive tackle and go with an even maybe just an even five at each position. Five DNs and five DTs. So that was interesting for me. That was really my only comment on the defense. I know they're a little light at linebacker right now, but I think they'll do some roster maneuvering and things, I'm sure,
And I think
to beat
Elijah
that
Lee
back
is
up.
going to end up really making the roster. They have some injury stuff. I think he is going to. And again, they often, I think the majority, vast majority of their downs are going to be with two linebackers anyhow. So they probably don't need to. And they have two linebackers they really like, and Gay and Bolton. So you don't need as much quantity there. Well, Joe, with the rosters now set, the Chiefs and everywhere else, are you still going? We had to do this teaser earlier for Believe earlier in the offseason where we made our Super Bowl predictions, and you went with the Joe Valerio Bowl, the two teams you played for. Are you still going Rams Chiefs?
I don't see, I don't see anything changing, I don't really see a whole lot, there wasn't like I don't think there was,
No huge injuries or anything, thankfully,
like
came
it's,
through.
like Tom Brady didn't, get hurt at camp and the Bucks are out and, Matthew Stafford, everybody, if this is what the NFL wanted, then, this is what they're, this is what they got, like with this kind of, we'll call it lighter preseason slash, preseason games and things. This is definitely, I think, what they wanted. Mostly really every, like you said, everybody, no, I can't really think of any major holes on any teams right now that, people are worried about, like, oh, we lost this player and we lost that player. I think everybody's going into, opening day pretty healthy. And I think, I think the class of the AFC still in my mind are the Chiefs. I really do. But I gotta say, I think the Bills obviously are gonna be a force to be reckoned with because they're good. They have a lot of talent. The Chargers, I think that, we could see some major AFC West battles going. And I think you got the Rams, the Packers, and of course Tom Brady and the
And
Bucks,
Tom
right? I think
Brady.
are kind of the class of the NFC. So I think you're going to see a lot of real exciting play to kick this season off. And again, I know we've really beat this thing to a pulp, but I really think that the Chiefs opening eight, this tough row they have to hoe is man, it's going to be a challenge to see how they come out of this, and I'm excited to see how if they can step up to the challenge, because if they can, then I'm not saying it's going to be smooth sailing, but it's definitely going to set them up for success if they can come out of these games,
One of
if
their
they can.
favorite sayings, team sayings, iron sharpens iron, and that would be the case with their daunting schedule. Joe, I like how you broke down the AFC and NFC. I'm going to piggyback on that. Yeah, I think it's very different. I think the NFC, you have kind of these power, these heavyweights, and then there's a lot of mediocrity in the NFC. The AFC, man, like I think it's so loaded. There are so many teams who can win it all, including the Chiefs. I think kind of going division by division, I think the Bills, I think the Ravens, I think the Bengals, who, they could have a Super Bowl hangover, but on paper, their team, they return everybody. They got a little bit older and they fortified that offensive line, which was such a problem. So they should be better. So I think those three teams, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, there's a little bit of a sleeper, but I'm always high on the Colts, probably higher than I should be. And then I look at the AFC West is so loaded that I almost any team, maybe not totally sold on the Raiders, but maybe any one of those teams could go to the Super Bowl and win it. So we're talking, I mean, I think that AFC is so loaded that it's really tough to predict. And I think the Chiefs have as good a shot as anyone. I probably take the field just because, again, it's so loaded and the Chiefs have a tough schedule. And then my prediction is actually going to be whether or not the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. I think fine, they've only played in home playoff games and they've hosted the AFC Championship game incredibly every year that Mahomes has been a starter. I think this year, whether they make it that far or not, I think it's actually going to be on the road. Not necessarily a knock on the Chiefs, but I think just their schedule in the division and how many tough AFC teams there are.
Well, that's it. That's it.
Do
I mean,
you agree with that, Joe? You think that you have the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl winning it all, but do you think they go through Arrowhead this year?
I don't think so. I don't think
Yeah,
so.
I agree with
I mean,
that.
there could be the chance, okay? And this is going to sound like a crazy thing because I believe they can win the Super Bowl. I think they have the talent on paper. They have the game plan. They've got the championship DNA. All those things that we talk about that give you the momentum to succeed. But I'm telling you, they may not win the AFC West. Like
Yeah.
that's the craziest part because I mean, these teams are going to be, it's going to be a heavyweight slugfest every single game in the AFC. When you look, number one, when you look at the Chiefs schedule, and I think it's going to be the thing is I think you could come out of the AFC West and win the Super Bowl because it's so loaded, I think, and there's such parity there. The crazy thing is that that team might win the Super Bowl, but the it may not go through them because I think they're going to beat the heck out of each other all season, and I think there is going to be they could be splitting the whole division could split, right? So they could all split games with each other, and that gives the Chiefs right there off the bat. That would give them three losses, right? If they split with each of the AFC West teams, which is very possible. And I'm not saying it as because I'm being disparaging or critical of the Chiefs.
No,
It's
no
just
shame in that. Yeah.
going to be tough. They're all good. They all have solid quarterbacks. The Broncos have to see what Russell Wilson can do. We got decent, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert. I mean, like the AFC West, it's going to be a battle to come out of that and win that division, and the Chiefs could split and with each team. So there's three losses right there if they split with the AFC West, and then you look at the rest of their schedule. So I just my that's a fear of mine actually is that as much because I love the AFC West. I just have such a passion for the AFC West. Is that it's such a good division. It's actually going to work to their detriment because whoever wins the AFC West might not actually have home field throughout.
Right.
There's actually probably, I think, a really good chance that it's not because you look at some of the other, divisions and you're like, oh, I could see somebody, I could see the Bills taking home field throughout, right? I mean, the Dolphins have done some things to improve. Obviously, of course, Tyreek Hill's there. We'll see what Bill Belichick can pull out of his hat, and the Jets are just going to be the Jets.
And
Like,
those are two other teams that are real. I didn't mention them as my Super Bowl prediction, but those are two other teams that never can rule out Belichick. And the Dolphins already had a pretty good defense and now have some weapons. Joe, you're gonna like this comp. I was on a conference call on Tuesday with the CBS crew, and they were talking about the division. And they're, by the way, they still think very, they do so many Chiefs games, and they were very confident in the Chiefs and thought that despite the changes, losing Hill, they're still very confident. And then they were also very high on the Chargers. But what I was getting at, you're going to like this comp. Tony Romo likened the AFC West right now to the NFC East of the early 90s, where just they beat each other up. And a lot of, your Eagles were a really good team, but they never really made it that far just because they had so much competition in the division.
Oh yeah, I mean it was back then. I mean the and there was such great rivalries, right? Because you had Washington to the south of Philadelphia, you had the Giants just to the north, of course you had the Cowboys. I mean it was a loaded division. I mean it always has been. It's always been a rough and tumble, The NFC's always been, a division that, has put out really good teams. And so you're right. That's I think Tony Romo's analysis is great. And that's a great analogy of likening this AFC West to the old NFC East of the 90s. That's a really good comparison, because it's very similar. Because those teams would always, they'd give everybody trouble, but then they would beat each other up so much that, they'd be limp. I used to call it limping into the playoffs. And
The
that's what I just
nice thing though, for Chiefs fans is they did beat each other up. The Giants won a couple Super Bowls, Cowboys won three, the then Redskins won. So, there is hopefully that's a lot less, and things were a little bit more physical back then. Joe, this is my hot take that everyone, I think most people, if a team had, if there had to be consensus, it's the Bills. And while they're nationally, and while they're really good, and I think they have a really good chance, I think they're slightly overrated. I think they have too much on, he's great, but too much on Josh Allen's plate, that they don't have enough running game. And if he's just not perfect running the ball and throwing the ball, I think that's too much on them. I think there's a little bit of a recency bias. They looked so amazing in the playoffs. They're scoring on every possession against the Patriots. They're, what they did against the Chiefs was really impressive. But not enough good enough, not a, enough of a running game. I don't know about their pass rush. Von Miller they added, but he's, he's not a young man. He's not going to be going a ton of reps. And then also in Tre'Davious White, their best cornerback is on the PUP list. They lost another corner, Levi Wallace, the Steelers. I don't know about their secondary either. So I'm that that's my hot take as far as predictions for next year
I love it,
or
Jeff.
this year.
I'd love to see that happen. And our listeners will be happy to know that I'm not doing fantasy this year.
So
I
you won't have to
withheld.
pull for Josh Allen.
I won't have to pull for Josh Allen or any other player that's not a Chief or at this point, or and rooting for my hometown Eagles. When they're not playing an AFC team, but I mean, Vegas, obviously, I was checking the Vegas lines, and people, I mean, a lot of people are betting on the Bills. I mean, I think a lot of
That
people
seems to
think
be
that
the right
they
the
seem to, and then of course everybody thinks it could be Brady's swan song. Who knows? He'll play till he's 50, but they feel like the Bucks have done some things, and you can't count Aaron Rodgers out from the NFC. So, maybe my prediction of the Rams might be a little bit of a stretch. I just feel like, I don't know, they just feel like they got a lot of momentum going. That was a that's a that's a that's a pretty solid season they had last year, and it's a lot to build on. Again,
And they
it's
added
hard to,
Allen Robinson, they added Bobby Wagner. I mean, that's a really good team.
it's hard to repeat though, Jeff, as you know. I mean, the last team to do it, right? We talked about this before, was the Patriots in what, 2000 and what year was that? Oh God, now I can't believe I can't remember, but
It's
five,
well, I think
2005,
that's right. I think it's
something like that,
something
right?
like that.
Yeah, so we're going on, a decade and a half since a team has done the repeat. As good as some of those dynasty Patriot teams were, and as good as some dynasties have been in the recent decade, it's hard to repeat, man. It's really hard. You throw all those factors in: health, schedule, game planning, and you throw it all in. It's really, really hard to win back to back. So I don't know about the Rams, if they can pull it off, but I it's those are definitely the I think Vegas has the top teams right. I think the Bills, the Bucks, the Pack, the Chiefs, the Rams, Chargers are up there. I think they have the right core of teams that will do it. I think just a matter of who can stay healthiest.
And word from our statistician, it's 2003, 2004
That
was
was
the
it, yeah.
last those seasons that the Patriots
Yeah, so
had that
that
year.
was I was close. I was
We
like
were very
years a year or
close.
two off, but I just think it's so hard. It's so hard to do. My God,
So hard to
think about
do.
some of those great teams, and but I think the core of where Vegas has is I don't think there's going to be I don't think there's going to be any. Who is that? Who is that Premier Soccer League team that was a 5,000 Leicester City, I guess Leicester, or remember that several years ago where there was a there
You
was
know,
the
my
they were.
soccer knowledge begins
Yeah, I
at an
follow
asset,
the I follow a little bit of
Joe, which
Premier
you got
League.
me into that show, but that's where my soccer
Yeah, I
knowledge is.
follow Premier League, and it was Leicester who several years ago were 5,000 to 1 odds to win, and of course there was the stories of the. The Leicester City, the old guy in the neighborhood there that, every year he would put $100 on the team, just put the $100, didn't care what the odds were. And then that one year, he ends up, winning, $500,000, because he did it. So,
That's why you got to go to BetOnline. You know,
That's right.
you
Got
never
to go to
know.
BetOnline and you never know. But I don't see, I don't really think there's going to be a long shot out there that's going to,
Yeah.
it's really going to like come out of nowhere. Unless, of course, there's crazy injuries or something and, something happens. But I think it's going to be one of those core teams that you see at the top of the BetOnline groupings from the Vegas odds.
I do think, though, that there's, I agree with that. I also think, again, there's so much parity in the AFC, it's hard to predict. I'm going to go with the pick that I originally made. I have no confidence in it, but I made it already, and I'm going to double down. I think that trend of you had Tom Brady, big at quarterback acquisition, winning it for the Bucks, and then you had another big quarterback acquisition, Matt Stafford, winning it all for the Rams. I'm going to go Russell Wilson, the Broncos against the Packers, who, despite losing Devontae Adams, have really good defense. But fortunately, Joe, the fact that I know Chiefs fans initially are going to hate this prediction, but it's really a good thing. If I'm predicting it, there's probably no way that this is going to come true. So Chiefs fans, the rival Broncos probably aren't going to go. But
Wow, Jeff, the level of confidence there
no confidence, no
is
confidence
amazing.
whatsoever.
So you predicted it, but you don't want it to come true, and you don't think it will. So you're telling. It's kind of like you're the person, right? That you when you you're the one when you carry the umbrella, it doesn't rain, right?
That's
So
my life, Joe.
we'll have you to thank when the Chiefs are hoisting the Vince Lombardi
Exactly.
trophy is that you predicted that it was going to be the Broncos. So I love it. So we'll have you to thank for it.
Absolutely. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.